This is the Morning Conversation on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Beginning this Sunday, we carry Fox News Sunday, and the host of that national program, Shannon Bream from Fox News Radio, is on with us. Shannon, good morning.
Good morning, Kyle. How are you?
We are doing good on a Friday. Thanks for joining us. By the way, where are you located at?
I am at the River Center in Des Moines, and my Florida self is trying to get my bearings and figure out how to get through this weather, but enjoying the show.
Well, yeah, definitely some challenging conditions around parts of the U.S. So talk about a little bit about your background. I'm curious at the front end when you knew you wanted to be a journalist.
You know, I've always been a news junkie, very interested in what's happening and breaking news and the inside scoop on those kinds of things. And so I always had an interest, but I got a business degree. I went to law school. My dad, my late father, jokingly, kind of half-jokingly said to me at one point, you're going to law school or medical school, so pick one of them. I think he felt like, as my mom did too, education was really the key to opening opportunities. But I did practice for a few years, but I never got over that news bug. And so in my late 20s, I had my midlife crisis, tried to juggle law and news for a while, and then went to news full time.
And that's interesting that your midlife crisis was that early. That's a whole other topic, perhaps.
I got it over with.
Well, there you go. So and where is that taking you? What was your pathway that led you to what you're doing now with Fox?
It was a little bit rocky. I mean, my first job, I was working in Tampa, where I basically had interned while I was an attorney, then started doing overnights there, working, writing scripts and making coffee and just kind of all the grunt work, learning from the inside, but loving every minute of it, listening to the police scanners, eventually writing scripts for the morning show anchors, started producing. Then occasionally the boss would send me out on a story. And once in a while, I would get to do some reporting as well. So I'd been at that for a few months, and I came in one day. My boss was gone. His boss was gone. There was a total management change, and they brought in a new team. And the new guy called me in and said, you're the worst person I've ever seen on TV. I don't know why anyone would ever put you on TV, and you really should try to go back to being a lawyer. So that was a big punch in the gut, and it really made me assess, okay, how much do I want to do this? I've got a ton of room for improvement. I always think you do. And it made me get serious about doing this as a career. So from there, I went to Charlotte, where I was an anchor and reporter, then to NBC4 in Washington. And from there, that's when I started up with Fox back in 2007.
Wow. And how long have you been hosting Fox News Sunday?
September of 2022, so about a year and a half, and it's just such an exciting time to be doing this as we finally get into these first votes of the 2024 election. You know, we're very heavily politics. We do bring in some cultural things and other things, too, that we know people are talking about, but really politics is our meat and potatoes, so we're excited to finally be at Iowa for this juncture.
And as you get ready for a program each week, how do you decide what to cover? I mean, you've got an hour, you've got a limited amount of time, and there's a whole nation worth of stories out there.
Exactly. You're so right. So we literally, when the show is over Sunday, are talking about what we're going to do the next Sunday. Sometimes there are things on the calendars that you know you're going to cover, whether it's a court hearing, or I still cover the Supreme Court, whether it's something there or a major event happening somewhere around the world. But other times, you know, you book the best guests, you start chasing the best guests that you can early in the week, not knowing exactly where you're going to be by the end of the week. Sometimes breaking news blows up the entire plan, and we start the show from scratch on Saturday. But we really try to have a running head start at the beginning of the week, but really trying to lock down guests in earnest by Wednesday, Thursday. And our team is so smart. Some of them have been at this way longer than I have, and some of them are young, fresh ideas and people on our team. So we have a good discussion about what we think is going to be relevant that week.
And, you know, it's interesting because one of the aspects of doing news is that things come up that you were not expecting. For instance, now we've got an international conflict underway, and that could shift and not be a big deal or be a very big deal by the time you're on Sunday.
Exactly right. Because now with these strikes on the Houthis in the Red Sea, I mean, that situation we all know has been percolating. The tensions have been building. They're vowing a response. So we'll see what that is. You know, military leaders feel like we did a good job, the U.S., the U.K., and some other supporting countries, in taking out some of their launch facilities that they've been using for drones and other things. So we'll see if that bubbles up this weekend or if they need a little bit more time to regroup. But of course, you got the Middle East, which is not anywhere near resolving, and many things at home. I mean, we run out of government spending at the federal level next Friday if we don't get a deal, and they're still debating the border deal, too. So a lot of things percolating for the weekend.
And you mentioned being in Iowa. First of all, it's very cold there and apparently going to get colder. That's going to be an interesting element and to see what that brings to the table in terms of how the caucuses play out.
Exactly. Because, you know, this is not a you walk in, you cast your ballot, you get your sticker and you leave. I mean, these are things that take hours out of your life. You've really got to spend time organizing and getting people to commit. So the DeSantis team feels like they are going to surprise folks. They say they like being an underdog. They've been here and done a groundwork operation that many people say is among the best they've seen. But the proof in the pudding will be Monday night. Do people turn out when we're not supposed to get out of negative digits on Monday? We're in the middle of a blizzard right now. Wind gusts over the next 48 hours will be up to 50 miles an hour. So we've got inches of snow falling, and it's going to be a real test of your supporters and whether they turn out. President Trump's team, they feel very confident. They point to the fact that they've been leading by 30 or 40 points in polls at times in Iowa, but they're also cautioning their folks, don't take this as a done deal. We need you to get out there, even in this brutal weather. Now, the latest Suffolk poll has got Nikki Haley leapfrogging into second place. They've been very careful to kind of manage expectations and look ahead to New Hampshire. But certainly what happens here Monday night will be a real test of all of these expectations people have set.
Now, of all the folks you've talked to over the years, what was your most interesting guest interview?
You know, I got to spend some time with Justice Gorsuch out at his little fishing place that he's got with some family and friends out in Colorado. And, I mean, it was interesting for a lot of reasons. It was about a new book he'd written about how our country works and trying to make us have more civilized conversations so we can work together with people we disagree with to make things better. But during that, we went fly fishing, and I actually fell in the river and had to get pulled out by the justice. So it's very memorable for the potential catastrophe that was averted when a guest had to save me in the middle of an interview.
Wow, that would be pretty memorable. And as you have gone through your career, do you ever look back and say, well, maybe I should have been an attorney?
No. I really appreciate those years, and I love having that background. It helps me navigate the Supreme Court, I think, a little bit more easily, although the press corps at the Supreme Court is brilliant and has very few attorneys in it, but it's been a big help to me there at the court. And it really taught me to research and to dig in and to know there are always multiple sides to a story, which is important. On Capitol Hill, you get talking points from people, but, you know, you have to question the story that's behind all of that. So the training has been so helpful all throughout my career, but I don't miss the actual grind or the practice of doing law. I very much enjoy covering it. And to get to sit in on these arguments with nine of the most brilliant legal minds in our country is a real blessing. I pinch myself about the work that I get to do. I'm very grateful.
So if somebody's been listening to this segment, what would you say to encourage them to tune in Sunday morning and listen to Fox News Sunday?
Well, you are going to get the final argument live from both Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis about why voters should choose them on Monday. It's do or die time for their campaigns. We also have Senator Joe Manchin, who right now is in New Hampshire doing his own gig up there. He's flirted with this third party thing. We know he's not running for a Senate seat. Can we nail him down on Sunday about a third party run? Because the White House Democrats are very worried about how that would impact President Biden. They think it would be a net negative for him. So will Joe Manchin do it?
Interesting. And of course, you've got the Robert Kennedy candidacy. You've got other people out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly possible that this year we could have more people on the ballot than maybe in recent memory.
Yeah, and you think about Cornel West, RFK Jr., Marianne Williamson. I mean, there are all kinds of interesting voices and names who have an impact. I mean, when in the polling, when all those names are included, I mean, you start to pull 2%, 3%, 4%, 5% from the primary main party candidates. That is enough to very quickly change the outcome of a general election, and they all have very unique perspectives. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. If this no-labels third-party group comes together with a Joe Manchin, or we know they've made overtures to Chris Christie, Larry Hogan, the former mayor, Republican, governor out of Maryland, all of those things could be very interesting. And, you know, I think back to years ago with Ross Perot and the percentage that he got is, I think, more than people remember, 18-19%. That certainly can turn an election on its ear.
All right, Shannon Bream, Fox News Radio, bundle up in Iowa, and thanks for being on with us today.
My privilege. See you Sunday.
All right, 8:41 at the Morning Report.